Thane's in, and we're going to see what our naughty money's been doing. But Thane, very good morning. Welcome.
Morning, Wayne. Morning, everybody.
And we are continuing our chat's practical finance, keeping our finances practical. And what we're doing today is continuing our chat about when your money misbehaves.
Yes.
And how do we deal with the misbehaving money?
But before we do that, do you want to do the disclaimer or should I?
I think you can do it. You know all the wording. I do know that this is for advice and you must discuss everything with your own financial advisor.
Well, this is actually what you're about to hear is information and we hope a little bit of entertainment because we want to make money fun.
Yeah.
But it's not advice.
Mm.
And please speak to your financial professional or your accountant or your lawyer, as the case may be, because you don't want to take something that may not really be suitable for yourself. So if we can get that out the way, let's talk about this money that's misbehaving badly.
Right.
Last week we spoke about saving a bit of money on your budget. So we've been talking about budgets because it all revolves around how much money you get in, how much money you get out. And I think the main takeaway is not really what you money you get in that counts. It's what you do with it.
Yeah.
So we chatted a bit last week about saving money on that most expensive item, groceries and household expenses. So as we know, if your budget isn't balancing, i.e. there's more money misbehaving and going out than you're actually getting in, or the money runs away from you before the month end arrives, then you need to do a budget. I would suggest not only on a month basis, but on a 11 to 12 month basis. So we spoke about that. But today, let's talk about other things. You know, there must be other ways in which you can reduce your expenses. Because literally, there are only two ways to do this thing. And one is to reduce your expenses or increase your income. So the other sort of, I don't know if you find it, Wayne, but fuel. Fuel is expensive. I mean,
it's getting more expensive.
Just gone up again.
Yeah.
So it's a big cost. Whether you're driving your own vehicle, whether you're buying a ticket to catch a Uber or a taxi, it's expensive. So is there anything we can do about the fuel expenses? I think we can. So what about planning your trip for the week? You know, we know maybe we do too many trips, and you might say, like you said in the first segment, you know, we're just popping up to the shop now. But if you do that every day for 30 days, it's probably costing
you've done
you
a lot
money.
Of popping
and a lot of shopping. So plan your trip, you know. It's a good idea to sort of, on the way, you might pick up a bargain at a shop that you need, or you know, you may want to start a carpool instead of three people with one child in each car going to the same school. It might be idea to do that. Obviously, you can. I believe even the pressure in your tires has an impact on your fuel consumption.
Make sure your tires are and your wheel alignment and all those things are actually properly set up so that you've got your car performing optimally.
Absolutely, yeah. So like a service, you know, and of course drive carefully. You know, that heavy foot does actually cost you money over time. So, you know, have a look at how you're using your vehicle. Electricity. We spoke about that. Keep the lights off that you're not using, you know. Change your light bulbs. You know, although there's an immediate expense, you know, LEDs do cost a lot less. And I think you like this one. Unplugging your appliances if you're not using them.
Yes.
Don't just switch them off at the wall.
Well, or don't switch them off and put them onto standby mode.
Yes.
Like, for instance, your flat screen TV.
Yes.
And your DSTV decoder, for that matter, when it's not being used.
Yes.
Because even though they switched off at the unit, they're still connected. So literally switch them off at the wall or unplug them if you know, whichever is easier.
And you've had personal experience about that.
Well, here, you know, at the station, we've cut a good percentage of our bill by just making sure that appliances that aren't actually needed are actually physically disconnected.
Yeah, yeah, no.
And you can do the same thing at home. Your cell phone charger, unplug it. It might seem insignificant, but every little bit adds up.
Exactly. You save 10 rand a day, that's 300 rand a month. Yeah. So you know, things like that are important. I can't do without coffee in the morning. I'm sorry. I'm just like, what's that saying? I'm grumpy until I get my coffee.
Yeah,
you know?
So, and then I'll stay grumpy after that, which I
like but the point is, when you're making coffee and you're only making it for yourself or maybe two cups, don't go and boil the whole kettle.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because first of all, it takes a longer time. So obviously you're using a lot more electricity.
And you get more grumpy.
Because you're waiting, yeah. Yeah, so yeah, good one. So yeah, make coffee. Boil enough water for how much coffee you're going to be drinking. How many mugs are you going to make? You know, so you know sometimes household cleaning detergents and that are expensive. If you go onto the World Wide Web, I'm sure you're going to be able to find some homemade remedies that are eco-friendly and actually do just as good a job. You know. I'm just thinking of things like if you're driving a fancy car that costs you a lot of insurance, is there a time maybe to downgrade that car, get a cheaper car that maybe doesn't cost as much? Your insurance will go down. So it's not only the asset you're buying, it's the maintenance that is important.
Or if you may be not in a position to change the car, just check that your insurance package is suitable.
Or shop around.
Yeah.
That's what brokers are there for. You know, and I'm always amazed at and I may be speaking subjectively a bit here, but people will go online and buy the cheapest insurance they can, and it may work until there's a claim.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you find the small print says, oh, you've got a huge excess to pay now, you know, whereas so you're saving on a monthly basis, but the risk is much higher. So, yeah, your investment broker, your life insurance broker, speak to those people. They are well-versed, well-educated to actually help you cut corners where necessary without actually sacrificing your financial integrity. It sounds like a big word, but it just means don't cut corners that's going to make your life a lot more risky.
That are going to put things at risk, exactly.
Correct, yeah. Gym subscriptions. I don't know how many people I know, present company included, have got a gym subscription and never go to the gym. So can the gym subscription, if you want to create something at home, you know, buy yourself some equipment, those fancy, what, elastics?
Because it's cheaper to look at it standing at home than having the gym subscription.
Yeah. And also, if you're going to go to the gym, you're going to get in your car, and you're going to drive to the gym, and you're going to drive back. So the time is also, we can find all the excuses not to go.
One of these little memes that you see, somebody said once, you know, couldn't understand these people driving 5 kilometers to a gym to run 5 kilometers in the gym.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So those are the kind of little things, you know. And obviously, if you're a smoker, you calculate how much money and health costs are in gedrang if you continue smoking. So maybe that's an idea. I know we all go to the pharmacy and sometimes ask for a generic for your medication. So we spoke about ditching the takeaways. Don't go for Wacky Wednesday every Wednesday, maybe, you know, or take lunches to work. I know some people think, oh, it's not a good thing to take lunch to work. You know what? It's your money. It's misbehaving. You're getting it on track.
Yeah.
Do what you have to do. So, you know, those are the kind of things we can do to save a bit of money as well. I see you want to say something.
I had a comment, so I'm just trying to think what it was now, but you can carry on and I'll come back to it.
Put you on the spot there, did I?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's assume now we've done all we can. Okay, we've tried and we've reduced all our expenses and we're still not actually making it. What do we do next? Well, as I said earlier on, the only other thing left is to increase your income. So how do you do that? Well, if you're employed, go ask the boss for an increase. You know, it might be tough times now for him, but you don't ask, you never know.
Yeah.
You know, I know you, Wayne, have got a lovely hobby that you enjoy. something that you got these fowls that lay these rainbow eggs.
They lay coloured eggs,
So, I mean, turn that hobby into a little business and make some money. Sure, it's going to take a bit of effort. You might need to go to a flea market or an outdoor market and sit there for the afternoon. But look at how you can turn your hobby into a business. You know, if you don't have, like me, I mean, I can't even hit a nail in straight. So I have no skills that relate to work. But I do have other skills. So maybe I should go in online teaching or hold classes on the things that I know.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the YouTube videos, some of them are so basic. How to beat an egg or, you know, something.
Yeah, like and people watch that.
And they watch.
Either for entertainment purposes or to learn how to beat an egg.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, there was this one that my son was watching. They bought this most hot, you know, spicy jelly baby.
Mm-hmm.
The most spicy chili jelly baby in the world. And they eat it and they take a video of themselves with their crying eyes and bloodshot sort of face.
Yeah.
I mean, if that can make money, well, surely we with our skills can do something.
You can do something similar.
So, and also one of the things that I know is very popular at the moment is renting out a room. Maybe you have a garage that you can convert into a granny flat. Just check your short-term insurance, but just by the way, if you do that. Airbnb an area. So make use. What I think the technology today makes it viable for us to actually do things that we couldn't do before. You know, sweat those assets, make them work, you know. And of course, you know, as difficult it is as it is today, maybe you can try and get a second job. You know, it's tough. But as I said earlier on, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. It may not be forever.
Yeah.
It's just to get you over
this hump. And just sort of think, as you've mentioned, a couple of ideas, thinking out the box, looking at what you've got and what you can do with it.
Correct. I mean, I don't know if you've got a storeroom that has got stuff in that you probably haven't seen for a year or two. Now, what's it doing there? It's occupying space. Sell the stuff, you know. And I know, especially us men, you know, it's like, if I sell this today, I'm probably going to need it next week. You know, it happens so often.
Well, you're talking about that. I was at, we did the bazaar at Enkhia Church in Ganubi on Saturday. We did Wild Coast was there playing music and all that, and they've got a white elephant stall.
Okay.
Now, my definition of I love white elephant stalls.
Me too.
Because you go there and you think, you know that, and you've actually got to go there with no money.
Yes.
Because then you can't buy anything.
Yes.
But I was very tongue in cheek thinking about how you describe a white elephant stall. Now, a white elephant stall is full of stuff that was donated by people who kept it because they might need it.
Yes.
And then decided, well, we're not going to use it, so we're going to donate it to the White Elephant Store.
Yes.
That same item is now bought by somebody who thinks that they might need it.
So, in other words, you wait a bit and you might get it next year on the same White Elephant Store.
Yeah. So, if you sort of see the cycle, you'll probably find a couple of years later the same items will be back there.
No, absolutely. It's just human nature. You know, we tend to want to hoard things, and it's difficult to get rid of. I mean, let's be honest. It's I don't know. I mean, if you look in your wardrobe, how many T-shirts you may have that you don't use.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're like me. I always take the top one, and then it gets washed, and I'll take the next one, and then so I end up using the same two
the same
t-shirts
sort
all the
of
time.
Five t-shirts, well, let's say over a week. And you end up these five t-shirts get worn every week.
Exactly.
And if you're involved with sports and runs, especially, you know, you look at all the fun runs and the marathons and events that happen around town, you know, every time you partake in one of those, you get a t-shirt.
Yeah.
So your t-shirt stack grows.
Yeah, I know, absolutely. So maybe get, you know, if donate some of those t-shirts if you want to. make space for something else that can generate some income. But I suppose to wrap up, Wayne, I think when your money misbehaves badly, there is something you can do about it, but it does take discipline. We've said that on each and every occasion. And it needs for you to take an assessment of where you are and address each and every item in your expenses and try and reduce them and get the whole family involved, because if it's only you trying to do it and no one else is switching off the lights and no one else is switching off the geyser, it's going to be a tough one.
Yeah.
But there is hope. You can do it. It's been done before, but it does take a bit of discipline. And maybe what we'll talk about next week is some ways to create a money legacy. You know, I think off air you were saying, now that you've got your money behaving correctly, now let's make it work for you.
Make it work, yeah. And that's, you know, once you've got it all under control, then it must start working properly.
Absolutely, because at the end of the day, we don't work for
our money.
No, we work for our money, but we don't work for the sake of working. There's got to be an end result. Yeah. So maybe you want to work until 50 or 55 or 60 or 65, but there must be a goal. There must be a money goal. And let's see how we can create that money
goal. And
then
that money must then work for you.
That's the way retirement works. And, you know, if your money is behaving badly and sitting in the wrong place, it's not going to work for you.
Yeah.
So, for example, if you got too much money in your check account versus money in a call account, it's not working for you. Yeah. So, yeah, let's go and talk about
it's not necessarily
that.
Misbehaving, but it's not working for you.
It's been lazy.
It's been lazy, right.
And that's a form of misbehavior.
Okay. Thane, before you go, if somebody maybe wants to make use of your services, they've decided that you might be their financial advisor, or how are you contacted?
Thank you, Wayne. So yeah, we always recommend that you contact your own financial professional that can know your circumstances and help you, because this is not a general discussion. It's a discussion that's specific to the client. But if you don't have one, you're more than welcome to contact me at info@verso.co.za, or give us a call on 043-727-1340.
Great. Thane, thank you very much. We'll chat again next week, Thursday, and make our money work for us.
Thank you.
That was Practical Finance with Thane.